What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Not Without Merit podcast, episode 15, that is, for the week of April 8th. I am your host, Mike, taking over the main hosting duties for Jake, who is out with a little stomach bug this week. Things have been going around, so yeah, we've all, I think, had our turn under the weather. It's been a shitty year for getting sick. I can attest
to it as
well.
I haven't been hit since Thanksgiving, so...
Okay,
I'm next.
Well, get ready for an upcoming episode without Ben, who is joining us this week, as always, Ben.
I am joining. I am here.
Hi. Yes.
Hello.
We're back. And, of course, Jake picked a great week to jump out because there's, like, almost nothing news-wise to talk about. Like, it's been, like, and not even outside of the world of games, like, sports. I mean, we got NHL playoffs starting. Well, they've already started by the time you hear this, but, you know, just football, you know, we're still, what, 2 weeks until the draft, so not much going there. I guess the AAF shutting down, that happened, I think, between this episode and last week, so that was depressing to see.
A little crazy. Yeah, a lot of controversy going on with that one.
I definitely haven't heard the last of that. I feel like someone's got to get sued. Just show up, buy a stake in a company, and shut it down like that. I mean, maybe it is legal. I know nothing about business, but it seems like there's something shady going on there. So I'll be curious to see where that story goes. But
there was a wrestling pay-per-view this past weekend.
Yes. That, I think, is probably the most notable thing to happen in the last 7 days and the reason why I haven't done as much gaming as I normally do. WrestleMania 35 came and went. All 7.5 hours of WrestleMania 35.
Just bananas. Could you imagine being in that crowd?
Oh no,
that's awful.
No, I mean, I got, well, preface, like, the pre-show starts at 5, and you were looking in the crowd. That place was maybe half full at like 5 o'clock, but who knows if that's just there's a huge bottleneck of people trying to get in, just haven't got in yet, but. I mean, the main show doesn't start until 7, which doesn't make it any better, because that's still 5.5 hours. So, okay, at most you shave off 2 hours, and, you know, yeah, you miss, I mean, I couldn't even remember, nothing of consequence, obviously. They're going to put on those first 2 hours, since that's kind of the free to everyone, or with if you have a cable subscription, obviously, that's outside of the, quote, pay-per-view itself. So they're not going to put any big matches. I think it was, what, like the Women's Battle Royale and, like, the Cruiserweight Championship, and otherwise it was just... a lot of throw into people, promos, interviews, you know, a lot of filler to stretch for those 2 hours. But it was a show. I mean, I'll take that back. I was more entertained this year probably than the last previous
I agree.
WrestleManias. I mean,
it was definitely
still,
their better one in a while.
Yeah. I mean, it's more of like the bar has been set so low after the last few years that it doesn't take much to get better. But, hey, it got better. You know, no Undertaker rolling himself out there and looking terrible. I mean, they kind of just got the old
Triple
guys
H
match.
Is going to take over for that.
That's it, yeah. Triple H has become the new old guy wrestling. Maybe a little further. I mean, he's still out there doing pretty well. I mean, he's still in his 40s, so it's not like he's, you know, Undertaker, who I believe is like pushing 60 at this point. So I'd say, yeah, Triple H has at least another five years of decent wrestling before we go, oh man, he's way too old to be out there. But I would hope he has the smarts to hang it up before he looks bad in the ring, which I feel like he's the type of guy that would rather just quit than have a bad WrestleMania match because he's too old. So
right. And you gotta think though too, these 45-year-old bodies for wrestling are probably like 55-year-old normal people.
That's true.
Just because of the beatings they have taken over the years, especially Triple H. And
yeah, very much so. Yeah, which is why they only wrestle once a year, because that's probably as much as they got in them to put on a decent match. So, yeah, I can come out there once a year and wrestle for 25 minutes and then not have to do that again for an entire year. That seems feasible for these older guys. But, yeah, overall, good. Not really any, like, real stinker matches. I mean, they kind of had some really quick squash matches, but they were so quick that... it's like, you can't really, if a match is less than like 4 minutes, like, is it really good or bad, or is it just kind of there? Because there were a couple of those, so I don't really want to say if that's a bad match.
Moving
it's
that storyline along.
Yeah. It's like, oh, yeah, look at this. Brock Lesnar lost his championship in like 3.5 minutes. Okay. And that was the first, was it the first match of the show?
Yep.
That was a surprise. And then I feel like they really this year went into the whole, like, all right, let's have a big match to get the crowd hyped up. And then let's have a more forgettable match afterwards to kind of like let everyone settle down and go get a drink or take a bathroom break. There wasn't, the pacing of it was definitely a roller coaster of up and downs throughout the whole night, because otherwise you'd look at the card order and be like, wait, why are we having a championship match open when there's, you know, Roman Reigns versus Drew McIntyre fighting for nothing, essentially? Like, that's more of an opening match. But it's like, no, here's, you know, Rollins and Lesnar to kick this show off. So it's like, okay, they're playing to the crowd, which is smart. I mean, like we said, those people are there for, some people are there for 7.5 hours. So yeah, they're going to get a little rambunctious and bored if you don't keep that needle moving and jumping all the way through. But overall, I was entertained. That is too much wrestling for one day. I will say that. That is just too much wrestling for one day.
It's a lot of wrestling all weekend. NXT, yeah, Friday night, I mean, the Hall of Fame on Saturday, and the Monster, yeah, Show on Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, NXT was good too. That was really entertaining to watch. The Hall of Fame, I mean, DX, that was basically like the selling point of that entire Hall of Fame ceremony, and that did not disappoint. That might have been like the most entertaining thing of the entire weekend by far, and not surprising. I mean, I feel like they probably could have been up there for the entire night just themselves. They probably easily could have filled 2, 3, 4 hours of time just telling stories. But yeah, it was really good. This is the one time a year I watch wrestling, and I feel that gives me enough wrestling to carry me up until next WrestleMania. I can't imagine watching Monday night another 3 hours of Raw, and then on Tuesday or whatever another 2 to 3 hours. That's one of the biggest reasons why I stopped watching wrestling. It's just too much content to follow. Like, it's what, five? I mean, if you're just watching Raw and SmackDown, that's 5 hours a week. That doesn't, yep, count like 205 Live and NXT and God knows whatever other shows they got going on. But it's just too
all
much
that original
to follow.
Content on the network,
yeah, on the $9.99 a month WWE Network. But yeah, it's just too much. And they can't go back. I mean, obviously, those ad slots are selling. Otherwise, they would have never stretched it out to 3 hours. And they certainly have enough talent to fill 5 hours a night. But, yeah, I just can't keep up. Can't keep up with that kind of stuff anymore. Do you have any other closing thoughts on this pay-per-view?
No. I think we pretty much covered everything there. We did forget to go back and look at our predictions, though, to see who had
won. Oh, shoot.
Yep.
Oh, well. I mean, I want to say we were trying to keep a tally as
we were
watching.
Pretty spot on.
I think we nailed, I would say, I feel confident saying I got at least over half right. I know I didn't probably get 100% right. But
I definitely got more than half right.
Yeah. Yeah. I would say over 50%, which I'm good with. I'm good with. They threw some, you know, some curveballs in there, but overall it was, you know, it was a fairly predictable WrestleMania, which doesn't necessarily make it bad. It just is what it is. I think you watch enough wrestling, you can kind of predict matches a lot better than you could just starting out. However, we did manage to get some gaming
some
in between all the wrestling and other nonsense that has occurred within the last week. I have been playing mostly more Sekiro Shadows Die Twice, and now, see, this is where I really wish Jake was here so he can see how he'd be proud of me. Like, I'm actually liking the game. I'm still where I was, in a sense, last week, where I have, like, multiple pathways to go about, and each of them are currently bottlenecked at a boss fight, but I'm in the same concept, I'm just like 5 hours further. Now I have new pathways and new bosses to fight, so I'm making progress. I'm still I think it's safe to say that the boss fights are easily the least enjoyable part of this game. Like, I really enjoy, like, traversing that world and stealthing around and getting into fights with enemies and stuff. But every time I go up against the boss, it's just like, I know I'm going to die at least once or twice just figuring out how this fight works. And then once I feel like I got it down, then there's going to be, like, a second phase that he's going to switch to, and then I'm not going to be prepared for that. So there goes another two or three deaths to figure that out. And then 45 minutes later, you know, I'm going to finally beat this boss, but I'm not going to feel really proud of it because it's going to be more of like, wow, I got really lucky on that one sequence there and managed to block all his bullshit. But yeah, I mean, I still don't like the bosses. Overall, like, coming from like Souls games and Bloodborne, where bosses were like, here's this big, gigantic, freaky nightmare looking thing, to now it's just like, here, this is a dude in armor. So that part is not really impressive at all. It's just like, oh, you're just a bigger dude than all the other dudes I've been fighting for the last 15 hours. So the boss fights don't really have the impact that the traditional Souls games do. And I mean, it makes sense. This game is maybe not realistic. It's not as freaky, nightmarish horror as your Bloodborne and high fantasy, like, Souls games tend to go. They tend to stick to more, like, okay, you're just fighting random dudes, and okay, there's some monsterish enemies, but they're not too crazy. Like, this isn't, like, Neo or anything, but overall, I'm still enjoying the game. I'm still sticking with it. I'm still plodding my way through it. I think I'm pretty much at the point where I'm committed to, like, push my way to the end. I feel like I am getting better at the game. I am struggling less with fights, less with enemies. I think I'm finally, like, kind of shaking some of that Souls knowledge off of my hands and my brain and not making stupid mistakes and trying to play this like a Souls game. I still do from time to time. Like, I still, like, try to dodge when I should jump or I should block. So, like, that instinct is still in there and still rears its ugly head at the worst possible times. But
I'd like to think that I inspired you.
I will say,
you were watching me play.
Watching you play,
I didn't have that.
Yes. Watching you play confirmed my suspicions that someone that doesn't play Souls games will have a much easier time, because you breezed through the first, like, 2 hours of that game way easier than I would expect anyone to.
So yeah, I was kind of surprised going through it, and I was just murdering the shit out of everyone and countering and parrying and just one-shotting people left and right. And the only time that I did die, like, in that first initial run through, is when I just tried to go all out tank on three enemies at once. It didn't go very well.
You just can't do unless you're, like,
in my defense, one guy had a cannon on top of that doorway. I mean, come on. How am I supposed to get past that? Which I ended up getting past.
I'd say you still made it through, that
through the mountains.
Yeah.
But I didn't run into any. I guess major boss. I mean, I did beat that one general pretty easily.
I just refer to them as mini bosses, named enemies, elite enemies. Take your whatever naming you want to give it to them. But yeah, those guys. I mean, like I said before, some of those fights have been tougher than a good portion of the boss fights in the game. Like, that's in one of my bottlenecks. One of them is a named enemy, and it's just, he's brutal. Like, he's probably harder than the boss of the other bottleneck I'm facing right now. And it's just like, okay, like, your difficulty is all over the place. And maybe it's just like hey, we're going to keep you on your toes the whole time. We don't want you to have any expectations. We don't want you to treat these named enemies as like, oh, I can just kind of, like, brute force and, you know, mash my way through these like I could, like, most normal. And it's just like, nope, we're going to treat these like these are more or less boss fights, but in the open world. So, but yeah, I was impressed with your play. Was it enough to convince you to buy the game?
Probably not. it's very satisfying to murder people in that game. And it is a very pretty game. I thought it looked very good and it played very well too. I can't recall there ever being a moment where a game, like, hitched on me or anything crazy and caused any discomfort in combat. And I can definitely see the appeal for all the psychopaths who enjoy these types of games. But, yeah. Not for me.
Yeah, no.
Maybe if it's like on sale for super cheap, but I already know that I'm playing the easiest part of this game, and there's going to be a point where I'm going to just absolutely hate it and hate you guys for talking me into buying it.
Yeah, I feel that you will reach a point in that game where you just quit and it'll be like, I don't blame you. Like, it took a lot in me to not quit on this game, and I'm the one that's obsessed with these types of games. So you giving up on the game, I would be like, yep, no judgment whatsoever. Like, yeah, by all means. Nope. Yeah. I totally agree. Yeah. This game sucks. Yep. You're totally right. It's great. And it's awful all at once. But, actually, to piggyback on your, performance thing, which I wanted to, playing at your house is my first time seeing this game run on a pro in 4K, and yeah, you're right. This game, night and day difference between running on a standard and a pro. Like, coming home after playing it at your place and be like, wow, it's muddier, performance is worse, like straight up frame drops and hitching, and it's just like, man, I think we're at that tipping point now where it's like, these games are more designed for a pro in mind than a standard PS4, and it just really just, man, I want a pro, but at the same time, it's like, I feel like that ship has sailed, and it's like, you might as well just wait for PS5 now, because we know it's within probably a year, more than likely.
Think we're getting it, yeah, next fall.
Next fall, most likely, is going to be PS5, so it's like, there's no point now. Like, invest, you know, with a trade-in, probably $200, more or less, it's going to cost me to upgrade to a PS4 Pro, and even then, like, I still don't have a 4K TV. So it's just, yeah, it's unfortunate that being kind of in this, like, middle ground of, yeah, I really want a pro, but it's not, financially, it's dumb to get a pro right now if I already have a PS4. So, but yeah, that was definitely something I noticed coming back to a standard PS4. It's like, man, this is definitely way different in gameplay and performance between a standard PS4 and a PS4 Pro. But other than Sekiro, more Black Ops 4, been playing more of that Alcatraz. That's really fun. Like, it's for the style that they put it in, the small map with the crazy antics and the respawns, like, that has been a much more enjoyable, hey, let me jump in and play this for 20 minutes. I don't care if I, you know, play with friends or get matched with randoms. It's just like, hey, it's a much better experience to get your daily, bonus, as opposed to playing the multiplayer, which is by yourself. Oh, man, brutal.
That's an awful thing to get a win to get your daily. Yeah. And multiplayer is the worst thing to do.
Yeah, there were so many days, like, I spent like 40 minutes trying to get a win in multiplayer, and I'm just like, you know what? Nope. All right, we're not getting a login bonus right now. We're just going to walk away and try again later. And
just, yeah, hot drop and blackout, find a gun, yeah, get your kill, and you're done.
I think I need to try back, because pre Alcatraz, like, that was another thing. Like, I did for like probably an hour, just squad filling with randoms and just dropping. And it was just like, every time it was just be like, dead, 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 because everyone go off into a different direction. Okay, and now I'm landing here. Oh, cool, I downed a guy. Oh, here's his three teammates to kick my ass, and
yeah,
no
so
one's
you gotta,
around to back me up.
You gotta go solo, so once you kill a guy, they're dead, and that's
maybe it's time to relinquish my perfect win record in solos, but even then, like
I mean,
said,
I hate to tell you, no one's looking for 100% win rates on the internet.
I know, but I have it. That's the thing. I know perfect win rate. Either way, I'm sure... I mean, if Alcatraz does have a solo, that'd be cool. Probably, obviously, bump the lobby count probably, like, maybe down to 50 players as opposed to 100. But even
well,
with
there's
Squadville,
only 40 in Alcatraz.
Well, oh, that's true. Yeah, so, shit. I don't know, maybe, like, 30 for solos? I don't know. And maybe just do, I don't know, like, 3 respawns instead of 5. I don't know. I feel like they could balance that to make solos and respawns and have it be enjoyable, too. Like, I hope it's not just squads. I feel like you could probably put either solos or duos, or just put them on a rotate. I know they don't want to have, like, 7 different BR playlists and have, like, the, you know, the player counts be spread out too far. But maybe just do it on a rotating, like, all right, this week, squads, and... All right, this weekend we're putting in duos or solos or whatever. But either way, yeah, still having fun with that. And then finally, Enter the Gungeon. They put out their Farewell to Arms update. Barely scratched the surface with this. I unlocked like one of the new NPCs, and I got like one proper run in, and didn't even. I think I made it to the final boss and died. But either way, like, still, you know, I wasn't planning on jumping back into Enter the Gungeon so soon. But I think that update's definitely going to be pulling me towards it. I'm going to try to at least resist for now, because, you know, got Sekiro. I haven't touched the Division in a while, and they just dropped the whole World Tier 5 stuff, so need to get back to that. You know, Path of Exile, I haven't even have still haven't booted up. I got freaking Trials, who's supposed to put a huge bug fix and content drop, I think, either this week or next week, and yeah, it's just the games keep piling up, and I'm not doing myself any favors, because earlier this week I went and I picked up PUBG on PS4.
Why in the hell would you do that?
Because I got it for the price I was looking for.
$15. Free? Who's giving it out for free?
I got it for $15.
That's so, way too much.
Yeah. It's $20 at GameStop this week for the spring sale. I had a $5 coupon that I've been sitting on for a while. So I'm like, all right, yep, $15. Let's go. Let's give it a shot. Plus, I needed to go in there and reactivate my Elite blah blah whatever, since my gamers club is finally gone. So
ooh, you start getting those Game Informer magazines again.
Damn right, got to read myself a Game Informer for the first time in like, I don't know, 2-3 years at least. It's nice to actually have a physical magazine to read once again. It's a good feeling. So yeah, I'll be getting back to getting Game Informers, but I mean, like I said, it's a physical disc, so whatever. If I hate it, I'm sure I could probably make my $15 back by reselling this game, but what the hell? I'm gonna give it a shot. No harm, you know. Whatever. I'll report back next week with my findings of PUBG on PS4. But other than that, that's all the games I played this week. Ben, what'd you play besides Sekiro?
I forgot to mention this during Mike's playthrough of Sekiro when I was watching him. We had some Final Fantasy XI soundtrack playing in the background. He played much better with that soundtrack going. It's been confirmed.
Until I didn't. Until I didn't.
Well, it was kind of on you, but and it might have been we were switching tracks too. It might have.
That's
thrown
true.
Me
you
off,
were, yeah.
But,
you might have put on the wrong track at the wrong time.
That was confirmed though. That Final Fantasy XI soundtrack and Sekiro go together very well. Other than that, I've been just kind of playing the same kind of stuff on the side. Call of Duty, Fortnite, Madden, I guess, because I watched some shows. That's it. I mean, it's been pretty slow. You know, I had the big weekend. You guys came out and not a whole lot going on there. We did watch a little Love, Death, Robots on Netflix. That was pretty
sweet.
That
was weird and cool.
Impressive CGI work in there. If you haven't checked it out, check it out. And
also, a quick watch.
At work.
Yeah.
Watch it at home with no kids. Is not for children. Yeah. It is very adult.
Yes. Certain episodes are, but most aren't. Most aren't.
Most are not, yeah. And then One Punch Man. We watched a bunch of episodes of One Punch.
That was pretty good.
Yep, funny show.
And apparently season 2 just started.
Just
kicked
came off.
Out. So, yep. Perfect timing.
But that is it for me, I think. Pretty sure.
Yeah, let's say. What's next for you? I know you're not in the Mortal Kombat camp, so obviously... Is it Rage 2? Are you holding out for Rage 2?
Well, I did install Kiwami 2 and Assassin's Creed Odyssey.
Oh, then you're good for a while. Shit.
So that's I like can just...
200 hours
a
game.
That's probably what I'll start up this week is one of those two. Both of those are immensely going to take forever. Just so much to play games, so... I'll probably just end up playing more Madden. But I'd like to complete one of those games. Well, Rage 2 is in a month.
almost to the day. So yeah.
Yeah. I might try to get one of those games completed by then. I'm pretty sure I can do it.
I say if you pick one and stick to it, I think you can. If you try to do both, there's no way.
Oh God, I'll never be able to do that. Yeah.
But I think you can. I mean, I don't know. I can't speak to Kiwami 2's length, but I know I've heard upward, like Odyssey, if you don't do a ton of side tracking, like 40 hours to see credits. But I mean, I can definitely do that in content. Like you can easily spend 80 hours in that game. So it kind of it's up to you.
Origins was the same way. I think I beat that in about 40 hours.
Yeah, I think I was the same.
But I hadn't unlocked the whole map. There was still great parts on the map that I hadn't been to.
Yeah.
But that, Kiwami 2, both queued up and ready to roll. And then, yeah, Rage 2 will be my next for sure purchase. I think I actually have that pre-ordered already.
So, yeah, one of the few current $10 reward bonuses at Best Buy. So jump on that.
Yep, got on that.
One of the few offers they'll still have left now that Gamers Club is ending. Sad. Sad. What isn't sad, though, is one news story this week, at least. You can now change your PlayStation ID. Yay. This was teased all the way back in, I think December?
It's been a while.
Yeah. It was available during the beta test of the 6.5 system software update, but now it has been rolled out to all members of PS4. You can do it via your PS4 console or web browser. This is not available through the Vita or the PlayStation 3. There's a handful of caveats. Every game that has been published after April 1st of last year has been designed with this name change in mind. So, more than likely, you shouldn't experience any issues when changing your name. But they also said that's not a guarantee. So there could be some potential issues. There's a list of games on PlayStation's website that lists all the games that have no issues, some issues, et cetera, et cetera. Everything beforehand is not guaranteed. There have been a good amount of crowdsourcing via, you know, Reddit and social media of like, okay, these games have these sets of problems. And that ranges anywhere from, you know, the leaderboard's not working to stuff like, oh, my purchases for this game aren't showing up anymore, or my game saves aren't working anymore. So it's a gamut of potential issues. However, at any time during this process, you can always revert back to your original name and all your problems will be solved. The cost of this is $10 for all standard members. If you're a PlayStation Plus member, that will be half price at $4.99. And everyone gets one for free. So your first change is free and you can change your name as many times as you want. And you can revert to any of your previous name changes beforehand. So that does mean all names that are currently in existence for PSN are taken and will never be made available again. So if you were someone that, say, like registered a second account to lock in a name and hopes that you could switch to it, I'm sorry to let you know that that name is permanently tied to said account. And reverting back is free. And yeah, you could change your account anytime. And yes, just maybe do a little bit of research on the games you're playing before you change your names so you don't accidentally, like, screw yourself over and then have to revert back. But yay, name changes. It only took, years and years of begging. I mean, I remember this was something 8+ people
years
wanted.
Or so. Yeah. How long has the PS3 been out?
I'd say, yeah, this is before
or
the
PSN even.
I'd say, yeah. Yeah, probably 10 years because, what, PS4 has been out 5 years, so yeah, probably another 5 years after that. But I mean, I remember day one of PS4, like, this is like one of the requested features was like name changes, like everyone else can do it. And yeah, it just kind of goes to show how hastily or poorly put together PSN was. But yeah, now you can change your names. Speaking of hastily and poorly put together, we have a new Star Wars game apparently coming out this holiday. The first look of Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order, that is the game being worked on by Respawn Entertainment, makers of Titanfall 2 and Apex Legends. The first look will be revealed this weekend at Star Wars Celebration Chicago. It will be on April 13th at 2:30 p.m. They will be streaming this first look reveal live on their Twitch channel. So it'll be twitch.tv/EA or Electronic Arts, one of those. I'm sure it's going to be like the most watched channel on Twitch that Saturday. So, man, I still so many
fingers crossed.
Yeah, yeah. Prepare for disappointment, but also, hey, you never know. It could be good. I mean, it's Respawn, so that part gives me hope because Respawn makes very good games. But it's like you guys are announcing this game, and it comes out in like holiday, so presumably it's going to come out before the movie, so probably November at the latest, so 7 months. And we saw like a teaser, so that's nothing, and we know nothing about this game. So I don't know. I just hope this wasn't a let's cut a bunch of corners and compromise a bunch of shit to get this game out before episode 9, because I don't think that would matter. That could only make the game worse. If you rush out a shit Star Wars game, and believe me, we've played a lot of shit Star Wars games in the last 5 years, that only looks bad to me.
This is the last of them, right? This is the last announced Star Wars game from EA.
They canceled that other one, the one that Amy Hennig was working on, the one that was like Star Wars 1313, like the revived version of that. And then there was this one. There might be another one. I don't know. It's,
yeesh.
Maybe there's another one, but it also, I'm not sure. This might be like the last known of Star Wars game in development. I wouldn't surprise me if they're maybe working on one in secret and just aren't nearly ready to talk about it yet. But man, it doesn't have. You don't have to do the whole, hey, let's release it right when the movie comes out. Like, Star Wars fans are going to know about this game if you release it next March. I don't think that's really going to hurt the product if you say, hey, maybe 4 more months of polish and development is just going to make this game better. And I think everyone would be like, okay, yeah, you guys go right ahead. Not, I have to play this game before episode 9 because some stupid reason. But, man.
How awesome would this be if this was just Star Wars Apex Legends? And right. It's just another Battle Royale game. Oh my god. How crazy would that be?
I'd be okay with that. If they could pull it off, I believe Respawn could do it. I don't know if I necessarily want that game.
I mean, don't.
To me, Star Wars, it's like just, I mean, I've never played KOTOR, but that experience sounds like what I want out of a Star Wars game. Just like single player RPG-ish game. You know, that's, doesn't have to be a multiplayer shooter. I don't need it. You know what I don't want? I don't want Battlefront 3 or the equivalent of a Battlefront 3. I think I've had my fill of a Star Wars game with a very thin campaign and a multiplayer focused title. Like I'm good. I don't need any more of that. I want a really good story in that universe, which is like so much there. You would think that it would be almost too easy to write at least a halfway decent Star Wars campaign with how much there is to pick from. But, man, EA has managed to really, really fuck that up. So I'm crossing my fingers, but at the same time, it's like I'm ready for this to be horribly picked at and laughed at come Saturday afternoon. So I'm sure we'll all be watching that, and we'll report back our thoughts come next week's episode. And finally, our last bit of news this week is a price drop. Persona 5 has joined the PlayStation Hits program, meaning now you can own it for the low, low price of $20 US or the equivalent in whatever region you may be living in. It has already been reflected on the PSN store at $20. I don't know if that change takes place immediately at all retailers, because they do tend to kind of roll out a new boxed copy with the whole PlayStation Hits branding on it and such, so that might take place right away, but don't expect a new boxed copy probably for a little while. And given the fact that we're supposed to get Persona 5 R, is what? Oh, the Royal. That's right. They finally gave it a name. Persona 5 the Royal, we're supposed to get a new tease of something come the end of April. It doesn't surprise me that they're probably at the point where we're just like, alright, let's let's clearance out this Persona 5 so people can get ready for whatever that game is. Whether we're still, we'll know something at the end of this month. So, yeah, get excited.
Tell you what, I'd like to say I didn't see it coming, but here we are. Greatest hit. It's a pretty good game. You should play it.
I did. I played it for like a week, and then I just, like I did with 4, I just realized, like, these games aren't for me. Like, they're cool. They got really cool style. They ooze style in a way that most games don't, and I wish more games did. But, man, just that gameplay is just, it's not having it. I can't
pretty tedious. I will agree that the social, I'm not a fan of that.
Management. Like, if you
that's actually the fun part.
Oh, so see, I'm the other way. I'm the part that's like, I just want to be in the dungeons, dungeoning it up. I don't care about
that's boring.
Playing basketball with Timmy to become better friends with him. Like that, bye. I can go without that. See, we're looking for. See, you're looking for the visual novel. I'm looking for the dungeon crawler. I feel like they can satisfy both of us. Maybe that's what they need to do. They need to break off and make two different games. They need to make the visual novel.
There you go.
For people that want the story, and then they need to go make the dungeon crawler, the Pokemon-esque dungeon crawler for people that want the dungeon crawler. I just feel like
different game modes in the same game. You can just play the story, or you can play the action parts, or you can play both. Boom.
Yeah.
Making billions of dollars.
With that. Yeah. Just, put like a fast forward on all the dialogue, or just like, here, give me like 15 minutes of decision making at the beginning of the game, and that just sets the path of my character for the entire story. I don't have to make any decisions, and I can just sit back and watch this shit roll out as like a cutscene. I'd be okay with that. That's fine with me.
Now I'm wondering if this new game or whatever is going to be an add-on like DLC, or if it's going to be a separate download.
It's all so vague, and like the rumors around it were just like, oh, it's going to be a Switch game, or yeah, people are like, oh, it's going to be a re-release with additional content, or it's going to be a brand new, like, spin-off game, and it's not actually, like, Persona 5 with DLC. It's just like, oh, this is its own story. So, yeah, we have nothing to go off of except, like, one teaser that explained nothing. So, yeah, I think we're just going to have to sit and wait for, I believe it's the 29th, something like the last week of April. Is when we're going to get the next round of whatever the hell this game ends up being. So we'll stay close to that one and report back once we find out what the hell Persona 5 The Royal actually is.
That soundtrack gets stuck in my head constantly. It's a good one.
I'd say that's one thing Persona does very well. They do good soundtracks. I mean, hell, they made three rhythm games based off their soundtracks. Right. That's how good their soundtracks are. But just like that, we are done with the news for this week, which is going to roll us right into our top five. And this is kind of like a continuation of one we did 2 weeks ago about hardest games we completed. This is going to be kind of the flip side of that. And this is going to be the hardest games we never completed. I will go ahead and jump in first.
Yeah, this was a pretty easy list to start, but I kind of got tougher to finish.
Yeah, I kind of had to get a little specific with some of mine, but there were a couple that came to my head instantly. But it was just like, oh, okay, I have to really dig to find the final two on my list.
I mean, honestly, this list could have been very easy for me, but I wanted to, I guess, broaden my hatred of some of these games. Hardest, frustrating, just the frustration in these games, I guess.
Yeah, but I mean, especially looking back at, like, old Nintendo, Super Nintendo games, like, I'm sure I could have made a list, like, 20 games long of those, but, you know, a lot of those are just, like, okay, most of them I didn't play until I was an adult, and, like, at the time, like, I knew going in, like, a lot of these games are bullshit, and the difficulty is inflated on purpose to make it pad out the length of the time you're actually playing the game. So a lot of those I didn't count.
The problem with those old Nintendo games is a lot of them were ports from arcade games.
Yeah.
And those games were designed to be impossible because they just wanted you to keep feeding it quarters. That's where you run into like the Simpsons arcade game and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and X-Men and all that junk. NBA Jam. They're programmed to just annihilate you.
Oh, most definitely. And just to pad the length. Like, I, you know, when I was talking about to you about playing River City Ransom over the weekend, like, you take the grinding out of that game, you could beat it in, like, an hour and a half. Not even. Probably, you probably beat it in, like, an hour. Like, if it was just, like, a traditional, like, Streets of Rage-style beat-em-up and there was no RPG mechanics involved, and, yeah, you could breeze through that game. Like, it's
yeah, the game's really easy if you use cheat codes.
Hey, I just skipped grinding. I would have gotten the same place. I just hit a fast-forward button. This is not actual cheating. I didn't turn on invincibility or 99 lives. I still
yeah, we'll be discussing this when Jake's on again.
All right, fine. Well, just whatever. Whatever.
In trouble.
All right, then we'll have that. Then we'll have that discussion of yeah, is if, like, do you have to? If I give you a hard game, do you have to play? Can you play it on easy? Is that cheating?
No.
I
maybe
agree.
We'll see.
Yeah, for another time. But. My list starts with a game of that era, and that would be my number five, and that is Kid Chameleon. Yes, this was, I'd say, probably like my holy grail of games I would like to beat someday. I played the shit out of this as a kid. It is very hard. It is also very long. It is a long game. I'd say it's upwards of, gosh, I think it's like over 50 levels. And it's not like your Mario-esque thing where it's just like, oh, you have a world map and you come back. No, this is like something you play sequentially. Like, there's no, like, save, come back later another time, any of that nonsense. And not to mention, the levels are all over the place. There's a bunch of level skips that can send you either forward or backward in levels. The boss fights are ridiculously difficult. And as a child, that's obviously adds up to a very, very difficult task. Not to mention, I never actually owned the game, like, myself. I played Sega over at a friend's house, so my spurts for this game were few and far between, but I always enjoyed it. I have it on my SNES Classic, so it is something I do want to kind of sit down and just eventually power through. I will, and this might be one where, yeah, if it gets too tough, I might just, yeah, let's just turn on, like, some 99 lives or something so I'm not restarting this game over and over. Number four is Demon's Souls. This was my first actual introduction to the Souls series and was one of the short... I'd say not that short. I put about... Let's see.
Wait, you never finished the original Demon's Souls?
No, this was like...
Oh, Demon's Souls. I'm sorry.
Yeah, Demon's Souls. Like the one on PS... The very, very first one. Yeah, I had a PS3 for a hot minute and like thought it'd be like, hey, I should like buy every PS3 game I never got to play and try to power through them as quickly as possible. So that didn't really work out so good. So, cause I ended up starting like 10 games at once and then like never got around to finishing like half of them. And this was, I got to, I believe the Flame Lurker boss, which was a very difficult boss. And after only being in the game for like 10 hours, I was just more of like I don't feel like pounding my head against this game. And I've heard it's very difficult. I mean, even though there are ways to, like, the RPG-ness of the builds, there are some builds that you can create that make the game a joke. But I did not know that at the time. And was just like, this is too much for me right now. Obviously, you know, many years later, I am a huge Souls fanatic. And this one always stares back at me as going like, I wish you could finish this. Yeah, I wish I could too. It's, you know... They're always talking about that, you know, remaster or remake of the game that never seems to go anywhere. I don't believe it's available on PS Now, so my only recourse is to buy a PS3, and I don't think I'm going to do that just to play Demon's Souls. So hopefully someday I'll be able to play it on a console that I currently own, but for now that's just going to be in a what-if
category.
Yeah, get together. Number three is another game from the From Software devs, but it's a DLC. This is the Bloodborne Old Hunters expansion. This has, at least until Sekiro came around, was pretty much universally agreed that this was the hardest piece of content they ever put out. Like, base game, DLC, you know, period. This was harder than all of it, and they're right. Yeah, it is definitely harder. I would still say... As far as where I've gotten in Sekiro so far, I would still say this DLC is harder, and I only got to the second boss out of like 4 or 5, and I've seen all of this DLC, so it's not like, you know, because I just watched it just for the hell of it, because I knew I was probably never going to stick with it long enough to get to the end. But yeah, this DLC is a friggin' nightmare. I spent like literally probably 10 hours on one boss before I just, like, one day just straight up died and deleted the game, and I haven't looked back since. And that was sometime last year. So will I ever go back to it? I don't know. We'll see. I would like to. This is a game I actually own and have the capability of playing, but we'll see.
There you go.
It depends on how much I really hate myself, and do I really want to take the time, especially now I'm unlearning all my soul's knowledge to get good at Sekiro. Now I'm going to have to unlearn all this Sekiro knowledge to get good at these games again. So we'll see if I'm ready to really, really punish myself in ways that I don't want to at all whatsoever. Speaking of things I'm never going to go back to, number two, Call of Duty 4, campaign on veteran. This was, out of all of these games, this was the one I got the closest to finishing. I believe I was on the either last, not counting the airplane, that's like, I guess, bonus mission. It was either the last or second to last mission. And man, did I ever try to beat this game. Again, spent many, many hours over many, many days trying to get past one sequence. It was in this like bunker where it was like a grid of hallways to go through, and it was just like everywhere there's boxes, and everywhere it was dark. You could hardly see shit, and if you popped up your head, there's like four different people shooting at you at once, and there's grenades coming at you from every direction. And I was just like, you know what? Fuck this. It was strictly just for, you know, achievement purposes. I was playing on 360, so I was just like, you know what? It's not worth it. I beat the game on normal difficulty already, so I saw the ending. I didn't care. It's like, you know what? It's not worth it. And then, especially after seeing beating the airplane mission, Mile High Club. There we go. Mile High Club on the hardest difficulty, and seeing how tough that is, I'm like, yeah, you know what? I don't feel bad about stopping where I did, because yeah, those games on like veteran difficulty, they definitely got easier as time went on. As far as the Call of Duty campaigns on the hardest difficulty, I would say like now they're like night and day difference between like those old school Call of Duty games on veteran, because oh my gosh, it was just such bullshit. Like it was so impossibly hard. Like it was one of those classic, like I never felt accomplished beating those levels. It was just like, oh, I figured out a way to like game the system, or I just got really lucky and managed to like not get shot enough to die, or these grenades like just missed me, et cetera, et cetera. Did you ever play that on veteran, or at least try?
I started it on veteran, and I probably got to the second chapter or whatever it was, and I was done. That was ridiculous.
Yeah. I totally understand. And you were smart and quit while you were ahead.
That was probably the day I realized that getting achievements was pointless.
Yeah, that was the day for me. It was like, maybe I should just focus on games that are fun to play and not just try to bang my head against these impossibly hard games for achievements. Let me just go and just play a bunch of fun, stupid games if I want to run up my achievement score. And finally, my number one, Crypt of the Necrodancer. This, on paper, should be like a perfect game for me. Rhythm games, love them. Roguelikes, love them. Great soundtrack, awesome. You know, it's got that 16-bit style, fantastic. This fucking game is so difficult. I have never been more challenged by a roguelike or a rhythm game. And just, it's so difficult to like learn to play a game to a, you would think like, it's almost, you know, it's like I got pretty good at Rock Band and Guitar Hero, and so it's like I can keep a beat, I can do that. But it's like trying to play a combat based game that's based on like your steps are based to the beat of the music, and it's so freaking difficult. Like it's only, I think like five or six stages to like a run, and I think I made it to the end of the third stage maybe once or twice. That's it. Like, other than that, it's just like you could easily die in the first stage, like, without trouble. Like, that game does not pull any punches whatsoever. It has no trouble kicking your ass. But it's a really cool game. It was a really cool idea. I never felt like mechanically, like, I wrapped my head around that concept of the rhythm-based movement. And I always, like, when the pressure came on, I just crumbled every time. Like, I just completely collapsed. I couldn't focus on the music or the beat. So I'm just, like, running into enemies and I'm just making stupid mistakes. And it's just, like, dead. And that's how every fight for me ended. So it was, yeah, just, I will happily watch people play through that game. It is really cool. The soundtrack is fantastic. Even if you have no interest in playing that game, you should at least go listen to the soundtrack. It is very good. Very, very good. And, yeah, that's, that is all of my top five. So we will go back from the top. Number five is Kid Chameleon. Number four is Demon's Souls. Number three is Bloodborne's DLC. That is the Old Hunters expansion. Number two is Call of Duty on Veteran difficulty. And number one is Crypt of the Necrodancer. All right, Ben, what do you got for your hardest games that you left unfinished?
All right. So mine kind of covered a little of yours, too. But they're a little bit later. My number five is a throwback. Kind of like we mentioned, those old arcade games being ported to console. Mine is Ghosts and Goblins NES.
I could have put this on mine, too.
Yeah, and I know Super Ghouls and Ghosts is also a very fun, hard game to never finish, but I never played it.
Is it fun, though? Is it fun?
It's not.
I don't think it is.
Those games were so hard and frustrating. Like, it's two hits. Like, that's it. You get your armor knocked off, and then you're running around. You're naked in your little loincloth, and then it's game over. So,
and the jump sucks, too.
Yeah. Oh, those games are ridiculous. Just so frustrating, and I might have gotten to like the third level. I don't even remember anymore. I blocked it out. It was so bad. My number four is going to be Tenchu on PS1. This was super fun until it wasn't. Yeah, that's, you know.
I hear a lot of comparisons to Tenchu. I never actually played Tenchu, so I don't know any of those comparisons.
Yeah, you can sneak around, murder everyone. You know, you don't get seen. You can one-shot everybody. And that's very satisfying to ninja murder everything. But if you got caught, I mean, it was you're constantly running for your life, and things got a lot harder then. Just like Sekiro, you could, you know, swing up to a roof and jump down on people. It was pretty fun for a PS1 game, that's for sure. But it was hard. Number three is going to be GTA Vice City on the PlayStation 2.
What?
I never finished this game because I couldn't get past the getaway driver for the heist or whatever the hell it was. And it was completely rigged and stupid. And an invisible car would come out of nowhere and smash into me and I'd lose the race. And this happened hundreds of times. I'm not kidding. I spent hours trying to beat this stupid thing on multiple occasions. And that was it. I couldn't do it anymore. I couldn't progress in the games. So I just said, screw it. I've played enough of this. I'm done. Great soundtrack, though, as always.
Very
just
so.
one of the greatest. Number two is going to be Ender the Gungeon for PlayStation 4. I'm not a fan of rural, dodgy, shooty games. played this a few times, you know, over the years. Picked it up off and on, and I just get so pissed off at that level spike after level two.
It's a tough one.
A classic. You got to buy this one from Mike. So, no, thank you. Mm-hmm. I'm done. And then number one for me is going to be any Souls game or Souls-like game. I'm bunching them all up into one.
That's fair. So one experience is Demon. The same.
Yeah, Demon Souls, Dark Souls, Bloodborne, Salt and Sanctuary, Mummy Remastered, Messenger, Rogue Legacy, probably Hollow Knight, probably Sekiro. I just need to stop buying these games no matter what you ding-dongs tell me, because I'm going to end up hating it and hating the fact that I just spent money on it, especially if it's a digital game. I can't get any money back for it. Ugh. Sorry. I just can't do it. It's just
Let me tell you
so
about a game called Dead Cells.
It's on my Steam wish list, and it's like got on sale like the last 2 weeks, like 15, 20 bucks or something. I look at it, I'm like, oh, I should grab that. And then I'm like, no, don't, because you're just going to be in the same boat as you're always in with these games. So I have not bought it. It's just not fun to spend hours perfecting a pattern that a boss just might not even follow over and over again. The grind to get to the boss, get murdered by the boss, grind to get back to the boss, get murdered by the boss over and over again. And then there's just some areas where the grind to get to the boss is just as bad as the boss. So by the time you get to the boss, you're almost dead anyway. I watched you just get murdered repeatedly in Sekiro by normal guys to know that anytime I'd get to a boss, I'd lose my shit. So any of those games, I'm not doing. So my top five, number five, Ghosts and Goblins on the Nintendo. Number four is Tenchu on PS1. Number three is GTA Vice City for PS2. Number two is Enter the Gungeon on PS4. And number one is any Soulsy Souls-esque game ever.
Fair enough. I understand.
I don't know if I've ever beaten one, to be honest, now that I think about it.
I'm surprised you haven't beaten Rogue Legacy, because I feel like out of all the ones you listed,
I got super far in Rogue Legacy.
That is the most...
Salt and Sanctuary as well. I got pretty far in.
Yes. That one has like a wall. I mean, I would say the final bosses in both of them are pretty like tough, but at least with Rogue Legacy, I guess, yeah, again, talk about like the grinding parts of it, but
I think the Rogue Legacy thing is you got to get the good character role.
And yes. Then oh yeah.
Get back to where you were. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing that was driving me crazy. I mean, there was a point in Rogue Legacy where I was just jumping off cliffs or whatever to get killed immediately. So
I'm right there with you. I found like the one or two character styles I liked, and it'd be like, okay, the reroll didn't give me a Tim. Okay, let me just run and I don't know, like farm the early mobs for money and then just like die. Cause yeah, this isn't a run I'm going to take to a boss. This is just a farming run. So I get it. But that is going to, oh,
but yeah,
ahead.
That's it.
You got,
oh no.
All right.
Oh yeah. We are done. I already did my top five. So yeah
did our top five. Yeah. We are done with this week's episode. Ben, where can they find you on the internet?
You can find me on Twitter and Twitch at TheLeroyOG.
You can find Jake on Twitter and Twitch at FetTheAssassin. And you can find me on Twitter at JustSurvive and on Twitch at TheJustSurvive. You can follow the show on Twitter at NWMPod. You can also visit our website at NWMPod.com, which has links to all of our contact info, links to all of our past episodes. And, of course, you can subscribe to our show there on iTunes, on Google Play Music, on Stitcher Radio, or your podcast app of choice, which we always ask, go and write us a review and let us know what you think of the show, because each and every week, we thank you for listening. And until next time, take care.
See ya.
Bye.